Life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we respond to it. The right mindset is what separates most successful people from the average person. Changing your mindset can be one of the most valuable skills you can learn to help you create your own kick-ass life. Well, we want to help you begin that process today and give you a free copy of David Wood's training, Mindset, Your Key to Success. In this downloadable training, you'll learn how to develop a winner's mindset, how to overcome limiting and negative beliefs, how to love the word no, and much, much more. To download your free training, simply go to thekickasslife.com/free. That's thekickasslife.com/F-as-in-Frank-R-E-E.
Hey, this is Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income, and you're listening to David Wood on the Kick-Ass Life Show.
Want to make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Well, good morning. It is Tuesday, which means I have a guest. There is a little bit of noise in the background. I'm actually sitting out on a cliff edge overlooking Okanagan Lake. And way, way down below, the noise is traveling up there. There's a new development being built. So excuse that little rumble of big trucks that's going on, and you'll hear it down there way off in the distance. But the view is unbelievably stunning. It's a very still morning. And the lake is absolutely calm. It looks like glass. Little white puffy clouds in the air. And as I look across the lake where I'm sitting in a Adirondack chair right on the edge of the cliff where my home is. And I look out across a place called Trader's Cove. And I think I've described this once before, but it really looks like a little village in Austria. And so, again, I just thought I'd join you because my guest today is a really fascinating guy, and he lives in a beautiful little island off the west coast of Canada, and you'll notice right away about his energy. Just this guy is just all passion and energy, and and the most unlikely a golfer you've ever seen. I would love to go golfer. This guy's like a scratch golfer and looks like a guy who lives in a teepee. Excuse me, Brad. I know that's a terrible description. You know what I mean? Earthy. That's the right word. Earthy. Oh my God, he's gonna stand on my tongue. But you know what's going on, everyone? I just feeling very, very grateful. You know, there's so much to be grateful for. And I know that every day if we start our life in gratitude, I mean, one of the keys to a kick-ass life and being a kick-ass life practitioner is this focus on gratitude. And when all else falls away, when you're in the midst of it, and you know, when stuff's happening, you know, it's just so much easier to focus on gratitudes, on the things you do have, not the things you don't have. You know, as we're preparing for our trip to Belize, just a few weeks now, we're going to be down in Belize on a little private island and looking at the curriculum for the program. And I know gratitude's going to play an important role in that because it just is, it's one of the wonders of you know, living a full life. And you can do it anywhere. You can do it at the bus stop. You can do it walking the dog. You can do it when you're running or exercising. You can do it when you first wake up. You can do it as you're cuddling your loved one. You can whisper it. You can yell it. You can write it. You can think it. And it has the same impact and effect on our soul, I believe, at such a deep level. What am I grateful for? What, you know, why am I so blessed? Why am I so lucky? And it doesn't matter if you have no money, and you know, or if you're sitting in a prison cell right now, you know, there's and your liberty's been taken. There is still so many things to be grateful for, and so many things that once we focus there, will allow us to elevate ourselves in the moment, elevate our energy, elevate how we feel, elevate the impact we have on the people around us. It's funny, I'm sitting here right now on these three huge deer, and a little baby deer are just walking right by where I'm at. I think they can hear me, but they're looking very curiously at me. Just to the side of my property, we overlook a provincial park called Paul's Tomb. And to the left of my property, which is still my property, it's very wild. I mean, you're like on a cliff edge, and there's a flat area where the deer love to congregate. So I'm very grateful that I get to sit here right now in the wonder of nature and look at the creation of these beautiful mountains over a millennium and this pristine lake and these wonderful animals just wandering around. And you can hear the birds possibly above me. You can hear the bird song. And now the sun is just hitting the back of my neck. Over the top of these Adirondack chairs. And so many things to be grateful for. And I'm really grateful for my guest, Brad Morris. He's known as the dude from Cowabunga Life. And I want you to sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with a guy that makes meditation really hip.
All right. Well, you know, here I go again. Going to say something intelligent, but I never do. I just feel excited, you know, and I'm excited because I'm going to talk to a brother from another mother. I can just tell. And, you know, when you look into someone's eyes and you see so much passion and so much that they're sort of like they're living right in their body. And those of you that do live in your body, you kind of know what that means. And this guy is just vibrating with life. And I'm just so excited to get to know you. So Bradley, welcome to the Kick-Ass Life Show.
Oh, thank you so much. Living in the body's where it's at today.
Well, you know, you really do. You've got that sparkle, which I love, and I love that. You were just describing, and I think you should describe for everyone, you're living on Salt Spring Island, which is off the west coast of Vancouver. And just describe a little bit about Salt Spring for us.
Oh, man. Well, I'm sitting in my office right now, and I've got a huge window right here. And I'm looking outside, and we've got a gorgeous lake called Cushion Lake here, and it's old-growth forest, like mossy green trees all around, and the sun is shining through my window. It's gorgeous. It's like old-growth rainforest mixed with ocean, mixed with mountains, mixed with lakes. It's the best ever.
Yeah, you know, I must admit, that's the sparkle I see as somebody that puts himself in these beautiful places. And you were just sort of mentioning, we only spoke for maybe a minute before the show, you were talking about a trip you just came back from. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that too?
Well, I've been back from a lot of trips recently, but yeah.
Hey, man, I'm always tripping.
Yeah, I'm tripping all the time, man. This one was 3 months, just touring around Hawaii, the Big Island, for a couple months, and then almost a month on Kauai. And my wife and I were having a honeymoon adventure getaway. It was incredible. Oh, yeah. So we spent the whole time like this is a really cool part of the trip, actually, and how we arrived at this new home, because we're living in a gorgeous spot right on the lake. We got our own private dock. We've got a yurt on the property for leading retreats and having clients come and having family come stay. We've got 4 bedrooms in the house. Like, it's gorgeous. And this was something that we like literally dreamed in. Before going to Hawaii, we gave away most of our stuff and the rest we put in storage. And so that when we got back from Hawaii, we could really like create our life from point A, like wherever we wanted to start. And Salt Spring Island was the place that we felt the pull to come to. And so we got really clear. We just kept dreaming into the details, the 4 bedrooms that we both have offices, yurt. We even have a writer's cabin on the property and stuff. And it was like, you know, we weren't worried about how you're going to afford that. Does this even exist or anything? And 2 weeks before coming back from Hawaii, we still didn't know where we were going to live, but our hopes were open. And we started doing kinesiological muscle testing one morning. And we started muscle testing. We narrowed it down that on January 22nd, through Craigslist, first thing in the morning when we wake up, we would find our home. And so that morning, sure enough, we wake up and we're like, you ready to find our house? And so we went on Craigslist, and like moments before, the ad had been posted. And we ended up like seeing it, and we saw that it was a lake. We didn't even know it had a yurt until we actually got here to check it out a couple days later. And we're just like, wow, this is definitely our home. And a month and a half later, we moved into it.
Mm. I can hear people's minds who don't live the way that you do, and I do. I mean, I listen to your that certainty, that trust. I mean, I think trust is a big thing, right? Trusting the right thing's going to unfold. And I can almost hear people going, woo, 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 you know. But the truth is, when we live this way, and I love it. I mean, I call my brand is the kick-ass life, and yours is the cowabunga life, which is the same stuff, right?
It's the same thing. Exactly. Yeah.
But I mean, this idea that you can sort of create the life you want first in your mind, and then just step straight into it with that trust. I mean, is that something that you've always innately known, or is it something you've grown to trust more as you've sort of grown up a little bit?
Yeah, that I'm gonna go with B on that one. It was not something I grew up with. I've had to unwind from a lot of patterns of anxiety and fear and doubt and all the crap that just kind of boggles most of us down from really truly stepping forward in our life and claiming what it is that we want for ourselves and what we want for our businesses, for our families and everything like that. And so I didn't always have this type of faith, but God, spirit, universe, whatever your listeners want to call it, has really taught me in profound ways over the years to really just trust in my heart and trust my gut. And you know, it hasn't always been easy. And seriously, man, like I've had a lot of dreams and I've called in a lot of visions, and many of them have not come to fruition yet. And this house, like stepping into it, was like, whoa. Like this is, it was really cool, man, because this place was like to a T the vision that we had for ourselves and what we wanted. And it doesn't always work out the way that I want it to. And fortunately, the blessings were upon us this time.
Well, don't you think though, I mean, with your experience right now, I mean, I played a song the other day on my show called, you know, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. You know, that idea where so often we think it's what we want and we don't get it, but what we get instead often can be everything we really need and really can open the door if we trust that, you know, yeah, we can put it out there, it doesn't come, but something is coming, right? Have you found that?
I totally agree with that. Yeah, it's an amazing walk of faith that we're all on. It's literally, we're all living our own vision quest of following our inner guidance, our visions, our heart's calling, our joy, our bliss, so that we can all live our most kick-ass life. And this is something that we all have to do as individuals, is to just learn how to trust ourselves again and follow that inner calling, because there's no outer evidence that's ever going to approve of what we're hearing inside of our hearts and our minds that's guiding us forth. It's something that we have to figure out for ourselves.
Yeah. What's interesting for me, you know, is how people label. I mean, we have people listening from 166 countries. Wow. And what I see in you, that spark that I see in your eyes is what I call happiness. And I think, you know, the Dalai Lama, Deepak Chopra, any of these guys that I've studied or watched or met, you know, they'll tell you, you know, or they believe, and whether it's the anyone else's belief, but happiness is kind of really what we're all seeking. And would you say that you feel full and happy in your life? I mean, is that how you're feeling every day? Or
I feel so happy and so blessed, man. I mean, you know, I have my moments where I'm not happy with the experience, but I would say, like, absolutely, I feel so blessed to be who I am and to be where I am. And I mean, I'm a creator. I get to create whatever I want every single day. my life is only limited by my imagination, and my imagination is unlimited. So you get that picture.
I love it. I love it. I just realized I'm going to be coming visiting your writer's cabin and sitting in your yurt having a tea with you.
Yeah, you man.
Hey, so let's talk about the cowabunga life, because I don't want to, I mean, I'm going to pull out your story as we talk about it, but the cowabunga life, you know, it resonates. When I read, you call yourself the cowabunga dude, right?
That's right. I'm the dude.
You're the dude. You're the dude. And here you are, the dude sitting there looking over his ocean. You know, with his writer's cabin. But, you know, talk about, you know, the birth of the cowabunga life. And what does it mean to you to have a cowabunga life?
Well, it's so funny. The cowabunga life was, it was kind of a fluke. Years ago, my buddy and I launched a video called The Gratitude Dance, which when we launched it, it sort of went viral and created all these like speaking tours and stuff like that around North America. And during that time period, we started writing a book, which ended up getting, this is a funny story. It got published by Hay House, which was also our intention at the time. And like the week before we were supposed to speak in front of 10,000 people at the I Can Do It conference. It was going to start being sold in the bookstores to be launched 6 months later. We got a phone call from the sweetest lady ever, Louise, and the book had to be pulled. There was some intercompany stuff that was going on. We don't need to get into those details. But basically, the book got pulled. It ended up not getting published, and all of our dreams just kind of crumbled to the ground. And so the next like 9 months was a lot of visioning and a lot of soul searching. And I went really deep into my own meditation practice at that time to kind of sift through my alter ego that was developing through those gratitude days. And I moved back. I was living in LA at that time, and I moved back from LA, and a friend asked me, "Hey, will you lead some meditations?" Because she saw the transformation from before I moved to LA to after. And I said, "Absolutely." And started leading these meditation groups, teaching everything that I'd learned about meditation. And it went from once a week to twice a week to three times a week, to leading big workshops, to leading retreats and stuff like that in Peru and Hawaii and Mexico and other rad places. But like 2 months after starting to lead the retreats, the group and I, we were sitting there and we opened our eyes and I was just like, "Oh, cowabunga." And that was it, man. It all started before that. When I was going through those months and months of visioning, though, I had this one really profound vision where I embodied the creator within me. I was sitting on a director's chair and there was just blackness in front of me in this vision. And I started pointing and there was explosions of universes that were being created. And it was like I was on a movie set. And I would just point and whatever I could imagine would be created there. And that was when I really realized that I could create anything I wanted. And so cowabunga life a couple months later was truly birthed in its full form. And everything about cowabunga life is everything about who I am. If you go through my website and you look at my programs and you check out my articles and that, it's just an extension of my own journey and lessons and adventures. And it's this thing that I don't even know what it is right now. Mm. You know, I know what I'm offering, but I don't know what cowabunga life is becoming. And the word means an aspect greater than cool. And if you break down the syllables into Sanskrit, it means soul freedom grounded within. And that's been my journey, man, is to like truly ground into myself, my whole being, my full presence, so that I can live a life that's cooler than cool.
Mm. I love that. You know, and the website, by the way, if you're interested, cowabungalife.com, how to live a life cooler than cool. I love that. You know, I want to say that, you know, there's, I'm actually writing. That's why I sound a little distracted. I love that saying. You know, when we look at meditation and we look at the misinterpretation, I think for so many Westerners caught up in that sort of rush, you know, that striving. Yeah. And my favorite word is both. You can have both. You can have that deep intimacy with self and that deep intimacy with the universe or however you determine it, God, Buddha, Allah, however, whatever your beliefs are, you can have that deep intimacy and you can go out there and do great things in the world and you can have wealth. I mean, have you found that too, that you can do it all?
We can do it all. We're totally unlimited. We don't need just that one path for life. I mean, we just gotta keep showing up. The misinterpretations about meditation, I definitely bought into so many when I first started my practice, and I realized that it's a residency, that there's not one path, one way, which is why I just explored so many different things and started making up techniques that I don't know if they're actually things that a particular tradition does. It's just something that felt really good in my body when I was playing around with my breath.
You know what's really I love about this? I think this is a secret to life, right? You know, I look at the results. So when I look at you and I look in your eyes and I see that happiness and that joy oozing out of every pore of your body, and I see you making decisions to sort of step into the unknown and travel and then create in your mind what you want and then find that, you know, that to me is real alchemy in so many ways, right? But this idea that you can... you're the creator and you create this life that you want. And in that trust that you have of self, you know, even the practice, you know, meditation's been around for thousands of years, yet you can in this moment of trust say, hey, I'm going to create my own style. And guess what? The results are I'm feeling happier, more alive. I'm sizzling, I'm popping. I'm feeling cowabunga, right?
It's cowabunga meditation, man.
So let us in behind the secret of, I mean, you know, I know you do 40-day vision quests, and we'll go there in a minute.
Yeah.
But this relationship with meditation, I talk to scientists, I talk to, you know, I mean, John Assaraf, who works with some of the top brain scientists in the world, people who have written books, you know, and they're revered around the world as these multi-millionaire businessmen, and yet they're inspirational, yet they all come back down to say the same thing, that meditation is the key to real transformation. It's one of those deep, deep-seated keys of really transforming the brain and really stepping into something greater, stepping into what we're born to be. So the whole world's looking that way. There's still a lot of people resisting it because they think it's weird and they think, you know, you have to cross your legs and stick something weird up your nose or something. Tell us about it. Tell us about your journey with meditation. How did you discover it and how did you learn to love it? How did you learn to let it lead you?
It's funny, man. It's been this organic unfolding. It's never been like, I'm going to be the best meditator ever and I'm going to have no thoughts. And, you know, it's I've had no goals really with this practice. And I definitely never imagined in the wildest dreams that I would teach people meditation. You know, it wasn't something at career day in high school. I was like, I'm going to be a meditation guy when I grow up. And not at all, man. I had a major breakdown in my life back in like 2005, got in a fist fight with myself walking home from the bar drunk one night, gave myself a black eye. It was good times. And that was like when I realized that I'd become everything that I said I would never be when I was a little kid. And that was when my life had to start changing. And you know, it's a really long story, so I'll just give you the short version. I discovered meditation and I started practicing. And when I first started, I couldn't sit with myself for longer than 3 minutes because I didn't have a technique to like entertain my mind. I believe it's not about like shutting off our thoughts. What I've learned is that my meditation practice is about entertaining my mind in a positive way. It's like right now, the majority of people who are out in the world, their minds are being distracted by worrisome thoughts. They're tuning into the collective energy of fear, doubt, worry, chaos. And our minds, the reason we worry so much, I believe, is because our minds are bored. We have these brilliant minds and they just need something to grab a hold of, which is why I keep myself busy in my times when I'm not meditating or out on adventures with creating new programs. I'm creating new adventures and businesses in that because it stimulates my mind in such a positive way. It keeps it energized and alive. And for me, meditation is just the simplest form. It's the celebration of being alive. I mean, we're flying through outer space on a little planet called Earth going like 76,000 miles per hour through the cosmos in an infinitely expanding universe. I mean, I'm drinking a beautiful cup of coffee that came from the other side of the planet right now. It's a freaking miracle, all of it.
You know, but I could just feel all those guys who are in their cars right now driving to work. So what the fuck am I doing? That's the first time I've used the F-bomb on my show in a whole year. Look at that. That's not bad. It's my... So But, you know, this idea, though, that miracle piece, I love this, and I want to explore it. You're sitting there in this full understanding of your place in the cosmos, you know, really understanding what's going on and coming right down to this piece, this cup of coffee and the gratitude that you're able to drink a coffee that comes from the other side of the world. Do you think we sort of almost got numb, especially in the Western world? I mean, do you think we've sort of numbed it down where we're just not realizing what's really happening?
Yeah, and I've been numb before, man. Yeah, it's really unfortunate because life is so freaking beautiful. I mean, even the pain and the struggle that I've gone through in my life is really profoundly beautiful. And I think that's why we live in a culture of stimulation and entertainment, is because we want to feel, we yearn to feel. And meditation is a practice that brings us back into ourselves so we can feel what it is that we're really yearning for, which is ourself. It's our authentic connection with ourself, the creator, and this life that we're blessed to have. And so because we've been taught to go outside of ourselves, people are just constantly searching for the next fix. And the next fix is never going to give us what we really want. Mm.
I know you didn't want to sort of talk too much about giving yourself a black eye, but I think what that represents is so much of that. When I look around at a lot of my students, you know, when I'm training, that yearning you speak about, and that place where we end up, where you say, well, this isn't where I kind of thought I was going to be. I didn't promise myself as a kid I was going to end up feeling like I was feeling.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about what those thoughts were, that sort of awakening when you started to really turn this corner? What was it that you were seeing in your life that wasn't part of that sort of deal you made with yourself as a kid?
Yeah, well, as a kid, I was always pretty enthusiastic and I was very excitable. And I actually originally moved out to the West Coast to play professional golf. That was like my main dream. And after a couple years, I dropped out of college. And because I started up a business, and my intention of starting up the business was to be able to fund myself to just play golf and end up going for the tour. And what ended up happening is I got kicked out of my golf club because it wasn't a very cool company. I sold super offensive, degrading t-shirts, like really offensive, grody t-shirts online. And so my life became the affirmation written on the t-shirts, which was a really profound metaphor that I discovered a couple years later as I really dove into myself, that my life had become what was written on the t-shirts, all the slogans. And got kicked out of the golf club, stopped golfing, was partying nonstop, was just as a douchebag, man. I was just a douchebag. I didn't really care about anybody else but myself, and I treated people like crap, or I used people for, you know, in manipulative ways. It wasn't my authentic expression of who I was and who I was raised to be by my parents. Which, you know, ended up fortunately causing me to have a massive, severe breakdown, which changed my life.
You know, it's interesting. You must have been around and studied a lot of people who've gone through some form of transformation, and how often that kind of breakdown or that hitting bottom sort of serves as a springboard to something greater. So, you know, when we talk about meditation again, can you lead us again into this? I love this idea of entertaining your mind.
Yeah.
And as opposed to what a lot of people fear in meditation, which is, you know, trying to silence it, which, you know, it's especially in today's world with, you know, every time your phone dings, you run over and you start, you know, answering it. But what do you mean by entertaining the mind?
Yeah, well, first I'll just share that before meditation, I smoked way too much pot because I thought pot would give me this. I thought it tapped me into a creative component of my mind that was unreachable in any other form. And as I explored meditation, I was just like, why am I smoking this? Because this is what I was going for. The meditation, when we entertain our mind, like it's all about, I mean, we look at the book Power versus Force and the scale of consciousness and how in quantum physics, everything is energy. And a lot of the time, the things that our mind is focusing on really has no relevance to our life purpose, our passions, and who we are in our authentic expression. And so the meditation practice that I embody is more about coming back to who we are in the core of our heart, or in our essence. And the techniques that I practice, it's just simple breathing techniques or toning, things that take us out of those thought spirals, that take us away from ourselves, and they bring us back to ourselves. And there's so many forms. Our mind just wants something to grab a hold of. And when we can learn some simple breathing techniques that take us deeper into ourselves, the thoughts just naturally stop. And, you know, I, even in my meditation practices, you know, it's not all the time that I go into a thoughtless state of being where I'm connected to the entire universe and I'm one with everything and everyone. No, but what happens is, because I do it every day, I can go into myself and sink in deeper and deeper, and creative ideas come out of me. I get complete and total clarity when I'm unclear, and I feel connected to myself, and my energy levels are higher because I'm breathing deeper and more expansively. And it's just, it's one of those things that it's challenging to know how big a difference it's making in the moment.
Right.
What was that? Was that James Bond?
Yeah, that was James Bond. You know, my phone, I always forget to turn it off, and it always seems to go off at those times. But yeah, James Bond just came in. Anyway, I want to ask you this question, though. This idea of I've trained hundreds of thousands of students now, and what I always come down in my mind, I often think, well, self-love is the thing that we're all looking for, that people seem, that sort of negative conversation that a lot of people have in their head constantly, and you know, pulling themselves down. Do you find that the part of what I hear and what you're explaining in this journey is that discovery of self and that falling in love with yourself and your imperfection and some of the mistakes in your journey, whatever? Is that kind of the essence of it? Is it self-love?
It really is. I mean, it all comes down to self-love. Do I love myself enough to give myself this experience? Do I love myself enough to create habits in my life that really support me and support my dreams? It really does come down to how much we're able to love ourselves. And loving ourselves is more than just looking in the mirror and affirming, I love myself, I love myself, I love myself. It's actions. We need our actions to align with the highest form of self-love, because that's what we're worthy of. That's what we deserve. So yeah, you're totally bang on with that. And my thoughts is, it's all about the love, not the Benjamins, baby.
Well, again, but you can have both. You can have deep self-love and you can be incredibly wealthy. I mean, it's not an either or, it's a both, right?
Absolutely.
But often I see a lot of people caught up in the charge for the dollar at the cost of themselves.
Yeah.
And that's what was happening to you a little bit, right? When you started to sort of go off the rails.
Yeah, totally.
talk to me a little bit about this. Imagine, I want you to think now, 166 countries, there's people in Korea listening right now, Iraq. I mean, there's all over the world. And you know, I always am very conscious of a global audience and a global language. I'm thinking of, you know, somebody sitting there today saying, you know, I've never really felt this. Even how he sounds. I would love to even have a sense of that depth of being in my body and happiness and just possibility. The fact that you feel like a creator every moment, you're not on an adventure and you're not meditating, you feel like this a creator, which you are. But could you give someone a starting place and say, look, you know, a great place to start, like, you know, an easy place to get into that mind entertainment where you can start to sense a little bit of what I'm talking about. Could we go through something as a practice?
Yeah, let's do that. Can I lead a few minute breathing practice?
Absolutely, I'd love it.
Show the difference that some simple breathing can do. So if you're driving right now in whatever country you're in, don't close your eyes. The one thing I just want to touch on when it comes to breathing is that our breath is a total metaphor for life. I mean, we can go weeks without any food and days without water, but only minutes without breath. And breath is the most overlooked thing, I think, in our culture today. A lot of the time we're only breathing with a small portion of our lungs capacity. Let's just say we're only breathing with 10 to 20% of our lungs full potential because we're caught up in our chest waves. And so what I really want to encourage people to do is to bring their awareness down to the bottom of their belly and to really like imagine that their belly is a deep, dark cave. And in the bottom of that cave is a whole bunch of old emotions, stuck energy, anything, because that's the area that we rarely breathe into. And so what I want to encourage as we go through this is that people like breathe into there. And the metaphor for our life that I live by is that for only breathing 10 to 20% of this life force, this life-giving energy, then we're probably only living 10 to 20% of our life's full potential. And so if we want to live deep, rich, expansive lives, then we've got to take deep, full, expansive breaths. And so that's what we're going to do here. And I'm just going to lead you through a really simple breathing cycle that helps to bring your body, your mind, all these things back into balance. You'll notice the difference if you do this. So are you ready?
I'm ready. My eyes are closed.
You got your seatbelt on?
I got my seatbelt on.
Okay. So the first thing is to not take yourself so damn serious right now. That's number one. So smile a little bit and just allow yourself to settle into the space, settle into the moment, ignore the Skype beeping, and just begin by taking a deep breath through your nose. And pause at the top for a moment, feel your body expanded, and exhale through your mouth, allowing a gentle ha exhale. Breathing in through your mouth, breathing out through your mouth. Slowly inhale, filling your belly through your mouth, inhaling all the way, pausing at the top, and through your nose, exhaling, compressing all the energy out, feeling your belly come back in. Breathing in through your nose, feel your belly gently expand, overflowing into your chest, and exhaling through your nose, emptying yourself completely. Breathing into your nose, bringing all your energy back into you. Pausing at the top, letting go of any tension in the body, exhaling through your mouth. Breathing in through your mouth. Breathing out through your mouth. Breathing in through your mouth, feeling your connection to your body right now. Feeling life feeding you all that you need. And through your nose, exhaling, softening any tenseness in the muscles. Breathing in through the nose. Pausing at the top, just releasing any thoughts that aren't serving in this moment, exhaling through your nose. Again, breathing in through your nose into any areas of tension in your body. Through your mouth. Now just take a moment to continue breathing and feel your whole body right now. Feel all the energy circulating around your body, the new life that's being breathed into you. Allow yourself to fully accept exactly where you are now. Take a moment just to imagine as though your life is like a crop of food. And right now, what you're creating is the seed. And that each day you need to nurture that seed, take care of it, bring love to it, water it, give it plenty of light, so that in months from now, you can harvest the crop and reap all the benefits of your hard work. I'm just asking, what is your next step to harvest the most kick-ass cowabunga crop you could possibly imagine or call forth for your life? One step. Breathe in. Feel embodied in that end harvest. Feel it now. Allow that to be the fuel for you to get up out of bed every day and be your creative self. And exhale. Giving all your attachments, your doubts, and your worries up. Well, there we go. There's 4 minutes for you.
Wow. That was awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to sit here and cuddle myself a little bit more. Hey, you know, I found out about you, this idea of New Earth comedy.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell me a little bit about that? And we'll go back to the meditation as a sort of a call to action at the end. But
totally. Well, as the creator of my experience, I love to laugh, man. I realize that my life is way too short to do things I don't like to do. And my life is driven by fun. Everything I create has the essence and element of fun in it. And so when I was growing up, I used to stay up every Saturday night and watch Saturday Night Live. And it was always like a dream, even though I never pursued acting or anything like that. It was always a dream to host Saturday Night Live. And so I was telling you earlier about when I got back from LA and I had that vision of being a director, of creating my life experience. At that same time, I had this download of creating some sort of conscious Saturday Night Live show. And so this has been a 5-year journey unfolding. And I finally got the green light from whatever gave me the green light that this is the year that it's going to launch. And so New Earth Comedy is going to be like the Saturday Night Live of conscious comedy entertainment, that really, it's going to be an online skit comedy show. It's going to be totally collaborative with other video creators from all around the world. And it's going to be a platform for laughter and humor to basically raise awareness about global issues, about global solutions in human development and human potential, as well as for bringing sustainable methods to the earth. It's going to spotlight the greatest game changers on the planet through comedy skits. And also highlight the humor of this human journey that we're on right now, and all the silly things that we do, the ways that we learn and grow, and just bringing more lightness and humor to people's lives.
That's awesome. I love it. You know, one of the things we do at a couple of our programs, we use laughter yoga. And I can't tell you, when you put somebody, because the body can't tell the difference between whether it's real or fake, but in the beginning people are faking it, but when they step into that place of those deep belly laughs, and for weeks and weeks afterwards, as soon as you see one of these students, they just start to giggle. It's like it like opens up this whole door. So I mean, I agree with you. I think laughter is the key to real transformation. I think a lot of people don't put a lot of energy into each day of actually being conscious of how many times they laugh, right?
Totally, man. I can already get it from you, man. Your life is also driven by laughter and just enjoyment.
Yeah. Well, that's why, by the way, I'm going to put this out to you. I don't know if you're ever up in Kelowna, but there's definitely a bed here for you. So if you're, if I have an open door philosophy, as I'm sure you do, but if you're ever wandering past, just know you've got a bed and there'll be a cold one in the fridge or a cup of tea in the pot, right?
Oh, right on, brother. You're in Kelowna. I thought you were like somewhere on the other side of the universe.
Well, I am on the other side of the universe. Depends on how you're thinking about it. But yeah, I'm in Kelowna.
Oh, that's perfect. Oh, we're like neighbors.
We're neighbors, yeah. I'll wave. I'll stand on my roof and wave, see if I can see you.
That, one of those trees.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, talk about the Vision Quest, the 40-day Vision Quest. I know you've got this this wonderful program. And I wonder, you know, I really, you know, I'm sure that anyone who took a moment, and if you didn't take a moment to spend those 4 minutes and really get that breathing going, and if you did, you'll feel exactly what I'm feeling right now, which you will feel on a daily basis. So why don't you lead us through a little bit of what that is and how people can come play with you?
Yeah, so the Cowabunga Vision Quest is epic, man.
It's epic.
It's epic. I was on my own personal vision quest in the mountains of Peru about a year and a half ago when I had the total just those, you know, those moments of clarity when everything, like in 1 second, you get the entire picture. And then it's like there's a giant explosion where that entire puzzle is broken up into its million little fragments. And then you have to put the pieces back together to get back to that moment of clarity and create the thing that you were shown. So that's what my last year and a half has been, is putting those pieces back together. But the Vision Quest is it's a 40-day online experience. There's people from all around the world signing up almost every day now. And it's all about creating a habit of showing up to celebrate life through the Cowabunga meditation practice. And so each week has its own theme, so you learn a huge variety of different techniques so you can really figure out what works for you. And it's all about just creating that habit in our lives of coming back to ourselves every single day and doing something that's like truly activating just for ourselves. And so the techniques are the best of what I've been learning and sharing in workshops for the last bunch of years. And the reason I created it was because I was feeling New Earth comedy being birthed through me, and the amount of energy it was taking to travel all over the place and lead all these workshops in person was kind of, it was making it challenging to build New Earth comedy because it was a new project. And so I feel really blessed and grateful for the platform I've created that is allowing me to connect with amazing people and build amazing relationships all around the world and to share in such a fun way. So it's all video and audios, and every day there's email inspirations and exercises that also support the journey. And then there's an awesome online community right now of people all over the planet just like you who are going through this transformation together.
Mm. That's awesome. And what I love about it is this fresh approach to something that, you know, has been really part of our life for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And you know, every person, I think, who steps into any kind of transformation in their life has to at some point come face to face to themselves. And that sort of, I always say, I'm falling hopelessly in love with myself. I love to even think even beyond that is falling hopelessly in love with my imperfection and my perfection. You know, it's all of it, right? And so this meditation path is something that I totally believe is the essential ingredient. And science is showing that now. And what a cool guy to hang out with and play with. I mean, you've just got such spirit and such wonder about you. I mean, if I'm going to sit and fall in love with myself, I'd like to do it holding your hand.
When we hang out over here on Salzbringer in Kelowna, we'll definitely hold hands for sure.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, your hair looks like mine did when I was young. I used to have hair right down to my bum. You got nice long hair there. Oh. You know, so it's you're looking the part. And it's really funny when you said that to me, and then you're telling me the story about your professional golfer. It was just like, you know how it's easy to sort of think about, you know, you see someone, you say, oh yeah, I bet this is kind of the path he took. Professional golf was not what I thought when I first saw you.
Yeah, I still surprise people. Actually, I was golfed last night. And it's so funny, man. I still get looks because I'm the guy that's wearing, like, I got my hemp shorts. I'm wearing my five-finger Vibram shoes on the golf course. I've got my hemp shirt, and I got, like, a fedora hat with a feather in it. It's like, I really stick out on the golf course. I got my ponytail.
And you're crushing the ball, right?
Crushing the balls, totally. Yeah.
Yeah, I tell you what we'll do. We have to get into a tournament together, and I'll bring you along. It's like, you know, yeah, well, just we'll sandbag it.
Let's do it, man. I'm a 40 handicap.
Oh, dear. Hey, listen, we're almost at the end of the show here, and I'd love you. I understand what the cowabunga life is. And I want people to hear it again, because I mean, I think the kick-ass life and the cowabunga life, there are so many parallels and so many similarities in the spirit, in the truth of it, in the fun of it, and I mean, and it's really about that ability to be with all people, all cultures, all religions, all ethnicities. I mean, this is really about all people, right?
It really is. It's about all people, and it's about coming back to ourselves, right. Really, like. Coming back to ourselves so that we can show up in the world as ourselves. I think the thing that I've been going through in my life over the years is like unwinding from like all these other personalities that I was playing out and acting out just because I thought that's who I had to be in those moments, and realizing that that wasn't my authenticity. And it's having the most fun ever. I mean, aren't we being completely and totally innocent like children when we're having the most fun ever?
Mm.
I think so.
Well, sometimes I'm being a bit naughty, but...
You know, that's all right.
Yeah, a little naughty's all right. Hey, so the kick-ass life, if I ask you that, is the question I always ask at the very end. If I ask you to describe a kick-ass life, I understand it's going to sound very similar to your cowabunga, but, you know, from the sense of what you get from this show, what it means to you to have a kick-ass life, do you define it one more time for us?
Oh, man. Okay. So I'm going to try and compartmentalize my life here. It's to have absolutely vibrant health and to feel completely clean and strong in my body. It's to have a vision that drives me every single day to better who I am and to share the God-given gifts that I have with as many people as possible. It's to laugh my ass off every single day, and it's to just wake up and to feel completely free with wherever I am, whoever I am, and where I'm at in my life, in this and all moments.
Mm. That's beautiful. Listen, congratulations on the recent wedding. I can get a sense that you two are going to have a beautiful journey through life, and I look forward to playing with you lots more.
She rocks my world. Brother, we got to set up a kick-ass cowabunga life workshop somewhere.
Let's do it. Well, you know, I don't know if I told you, I bought a private island off the coast of Belize, and it's part of a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's part of a marine sanctuary, and it's just gorgeous. It's a mile long, and so I bought it as a transformational mecca. I want people to come down there and do transformational work.
Let's play.
You want to do it?
I'm ready, man. I say yes, absolutely. I think it would be so fun.
Let's do it. I'm in.
Listen. All right, everybody, get ready.
Get ready. Yeah, strap in. All right, thanks, Bradley.
Oh, thank you for having me on the show, David. And man, have the most kick-ass day ever.
I will.
Happy New Now.
Well, what I tell you, that guy's one hip guy, right? And I just, we've already... after the call, made plans to get together, and I really want to go on a golf course with have a couple of bets, a couple of sandbaggers, get in a tournament with that guy. That would be so awesome, wouldn't it? But you know, this whole meditation thing is really interesting. When they talk about, you know, what comes first, happiness or success, and truly, all of the science, every great leader says that happiness is what leads to success. And, you know, to create happiness in our life, meditation is one of those great things that really helps reprogram the brain and really bring us back to center and create. And you can hear it in Brad's voice. There's a youthfulness and a wonder of a fascination, just everything about his voice. And there's that connection to self, connection to earth, spirit. It's just however you want to articulate it, to your God, to your deity, whatever your faith is. But it just is wonder. And I think that, you know, once we get our head wrapped around meditation more and more and more, you know, there are just a few things we need to do well. And you know, one is to journal. Journal the things that are great every single day. You know, it's a form of gratitude, but you write it down and it fires different synapses in the brain. So, you know, if you're journaling a little bit for 5 or 10 minutes every day, just of the things that are really positive, or, you know, you can even type, you don't even have to write. But I think the writing aspect, it ignites the brain differently from typing. So I'd say write it in a little journal, you know, do a 15-minute meditation, do some exercise every day. I mean, there's only a few key things. Random acts of kindness is another one that's proven. When you focus on helping somebody else, it changes everything. You know, just what can you do right now to help someone? You know, what can you do to go out your way? I know yesterday, and again, I don't like talking about random acts of kindness, but I have my tree guy over here, and we had to cut down a tree that was a little old and sick. And my neighbor had 3 dead trees on his property that were kind of in his view. I said, just go over there and cut those down, will you? And he said, well, who do I bill? I said, no, just I'll pay for it. And then my other neighbor, the other side, his name's Mac. He's 87. He wears those long socks that come just below his knees. Always got his shorts on. His wife passed away last year. And I went around there. I've been around there 3 or 4 times since I moved in. And he had a big tree that I had him, that I cut down, was really blocking his view. But there was a tree behind it that really still blocked his view. And I said to my tree guy, I says, you know what, Mac would really love to see the lake. Can you just pop that one down as well? And he's like, well, again, do I talk to him? I said, no, that's a gift to Mac as well. He says, I want a neighbor just like you. And I'm thinking, well, you know, it's those little things, you know, and Mac won't know I paid to have it done. He'll just know it's disappeared. But I went around there the first time, and we sat for about 1.5 hours. And the second time I saw him, he's like, oh, hi, Mac, how you doing? He's like, hi, who are you again? And he's just at that age where, you know, you have to remind him. And now I've seen him. Yesterday I went over, I took my son Ben over there just to visit, and we looked at it from his deck over at the view that we've created for him, and his big smile on his face. And he's just a beautiful old guy. And I see him hiking every single day, just really, really active around the neighborhood, hiking up these big hills. He looks at me last night. I'm just about to leave his house. He says, can I tell you something, David? He's got hearing aids in both ears. I said, what's that, Mac? He says, you look so much younger than the first time I met you. And in the back of my mind, I wonder if it was me he met. I said, you should see the stuff I eat every day. It's so healthy. So anyway, there you go. I hope you enjoyed the show. And we will definitely see you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter @ The Kick-Ass Life, and of course at thekickasslife.com.
That was kick-ass.